ladies and gentlemen. This is Comic Book Club. Please welcome your hosts, Justin Hyler and Pete Page.
Good evening.
If I may,
the dog pound is here.
Yeah, finally. Where have you been since Arsenio Hall's show? Great, you have a new home at Comic Book Club. Well, as many of you may know, we're without our third host, Alex Zalvin. He's still getting married and honeymooning. We hear it's going well, if you know what I mean.
What?
I don't. I'll tell you about it. We also have Kevin is nice enough to sit in the booth.
And booth man! Replacement booth man!
The one contact I've had with Alex is he texted me. Meanwhile, he's on his honeymoon. Yeah. He texted me and said, "New comics come out on Tuesday in France. I know what happens in Secret Invasion." His bride is in the hotel room. He's just combing the streets of Paris looking for Secret Invasion. Ridiculous man, Alex Zalvin.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we should start the show.
Indeed. Oh, we have a huge show for you tonight. We're going to hit the multimedia a little bit here. We have Matt Fisher and John and Andy Cook.
Yeah!
Yeah! Very cordial. All right. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome. Salted on all sides here. So, you guys.
Yes.
You guys are behind the Will Eisner documentary.
That's correct. That's right.
Brother
team.
That's it.
Made it happen.
Yep. I was a writer and producer, and Andrew is the director and producer.
You wear many hats. The documentary. Now, the documentary debuted at Tribeca.
It did, yeah.
How was that? How did you get in, and what was it like being down in that action?
It was amazing. It was, thinking in large part because Will grew up in New York. And
Brooklyn. Bronx.
In the Howard Lower East Side.
All right. Stand up.
No, he's from Brooklyn, that's why.
No, he's from the Bronx.
No.
We could ask the documentarians, please.
He was born in Brooklyn. And,
thank you.
And he moved to the Bronx and went to high school.
We'll meet for beer later.
You guys both do.
Already.
Yeah, no, they're very strong hecklers here.
They're smart, too.
They're the host of the show. We're more in
the darkness.
They're very aggressive. So, carry on.
So it was, it was amazing. I mean, we had an amazing response. We had finished the movie about, 2 weeks before that was the first time an audience had actually had seen it, so it was great for us, and Eisner came, and all sorts of people came to see it at the premiere, so it was really exciting. It was, to see it on the full screen.
For those of you that may not know, one quote that kind of sticks out that I read is, "The life of Will Eisner is kind of the history of comics." So tell us about his life a little bit, I guess, and what take you had on it.
He started off virtually at the birth of the form. When comics, as many of us geeks know, comics originally started off as a reprint medium for comic strips. But they proved to be so popular that they ran out of reprint material, and they had to come up with new material. So the famous story of Superman, and that which actually started off as a comic strip. But they needed new material, and Will had the foresight. He met up with Iger, but he was there at the birth of the form.
He met us when Bob King.
Bob King. Yeah. Bob King suggested, who was the creator of Batman. He was there, 36, right? Wow, What a Magazine, I think, was one of his first things.
You can just make it up.
So anyway, he was there really virtually at the birth of the form, and very quickly struck off on his own, pretty much. And started the studio system where you'd have an inker and another person would be a penciler, another person would be a letterer, that kind of stuff.
He was just always, innovating.
Moving forward.
Even over half those years, he was out of business.
And sort of the take on the movie for me was really to tell those two stories, because I felt it was really important for people to not only know the story of Will, but really understand the story of comic books, because, even though Will left at certain periods of his life, he came back, and what's you know, the graphic novel and what's happening with the graphic novel today, in a large part, you know, Will was a, you know, part of in the very beginning. So so that's one of the things that to me is gratifying when I show the movie and someone who knows nothing about comic books, you know, will say, "Oh, my boyfriend dragged me in here."
We get that all the time.
That's great.
And they said, you know, they said, I had no idea that, you know, this is, was the history of comics.
And you have so many of the old guard kind of in the documentary. Bob Kane, you said Stan Lee, Joe Kubert, Jerry Robinson, Gil Kane. What was it like? Are you guys comic fans? And if so, what was it like to talk to them?
Yeah, are we comic fans, John?
Yeah, I think so.
You sound like, no, it's a curse.
It is.
I know. I know what to tell you. I'm just saying, haven't I been telling you it's a curse?
How often I got paid.
Let's get into that. So you really, the documentary?
What really bothers me is Alex is is on honeymoon.
Yeah.
Why is he Twittering me?
Right?
So,
isn't that weird?
Horrifying?
Yeah.
Look, I joined Twitter, okay?
He should be Twittering his wife, if anything.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
That was weird. Who is this guy with Eiffel Tower talk? And then,
yeah.
I know.
There you go.
It's gross.
It's,
yeah.
It's gross. You should be Twittering his wife.
Put that in.
Where were we?
Old guard. Oh. Fans of comics. What was it like talking to these people that you may have revered your whole life?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were fans ever since we were kids, and I just...
We went to conventions and stuff, too.
Yeah, so early years. Phil Stuhling cons. And when Will was there, when we were at the same con that Will, the first con that Will went to.
Well, we didn't, but we never met.
Wait, yeah, right. We just...
You're in the same room.
We said we were in the same building. Right? Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
So we met a lot. We met a lot of people. I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, the thing about the movie is that no one said no. You know, that everyone, because of Will, they were like, yeah, you know, do it. I mean, obviously we had to do scheduling and all of that, but everyone we asked, and we did get some footage from someone else had started a documentary before, and they decided not to finish it, and so
weird
yeah,
choice.
Yeah. Well, so one of the
way
things,
to go not making that
yeah.
Choice.
So one of the things was Will said, you have to talk to these guys and see what they're doing. It was these two great guys, Tom Powers and Alan Edelstein, and they said, you know, we're not going to move forward with it. But what they did do, which was amazing, is said, you can have this footage. And the footage was, you know, like Gil Kane in the movie. And at the time we were working on the documentary, Gil Kane had passed away. So here we have this footage of Gil Kane talking about Will Eisner, which is amazing. And one of the great things in the movie, Kurt Vonnegut, came from them.
Yeah.
They had Kurt Vonnegut for about 10 minutes. They ran up, you know, asked him questions, and, you know, so we're really grateful to them. And,
yeah.
But, I mean, everyone else, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, well, about Kurt Vonnegut, he's a big Will Eisner
fan. I mean, you probably know
so
better
says.
Than I
do. So, well, I mean, so he says in the documentary.
Huge bullshitter, Kurt.
That's surprising.
No, to be
so
alive.
You think he really didn't mean it?
Yeah.
And so it goes.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well,
I didn't know that beforehand. So.
Yeah. It's Shaquille O'Neal you have on this.
Yeah, we
fan.
Well, yeah, it is Steel, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Will Eisner.
Not Kazam.
No one talks about Kazam. Shazam. Let's show a clip. We have a clip of the movie. If we could, Kevin.
What's the clip all about?
Oh, yeah, set up the clip. That's the thing.
Oh,
you
set up the clip.
John,
it's part of the clip.
Set up the clip.
Does this clip require any setup?
Is this
just great? Can we bring the screen up? Well, there.
We're not doing Jay Leno. No rising screen.
Oh, wait, John, you want to stop the clip?
No, no, no. Wow. It's self-explanatory stuff.
Oh, you know, okay.
Well, I mean, Will went through a career.
This is the period when Will
was out of the business.
And Phil Stuhling called him up and said, why don't you come down to this convention?
That's right.
So this is.
All right, let's see it. This is the way they do on Leno as well? Just so you know.
Yep.
They edit this part out.
Are they pre-tape in Leno?
Complete with technical glitches. Apologies, we're just going to load here for a second. You guys want to chat?
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he was out of business. He was out of business for a while. Yeah, indeed.
So, I called up Will, and I was watching watching American Masters on PBS, and I thought, what the heck? Why isn't there one on a comic book guy? Why isn't there one on Will Eisner? And I'd actually, he was such a cool guy that he's a guy you could actually call up and chat with. And he would actually, just like Joe Kubert, he would make time for you. And I used to actually get in debates, and I forget I'm talking to the great Will Eisner, and I get in debates that, oh, comics can be distributed through newspapers again. And he says, nah, we already did that, you know, the spirit.
Fist fights.
No, we can't do it again. Music magazines, Will. Music magazines. Stan tried to do that. And,
wow.
Yeah. So it was, so then I called Andy, he's been in the music, movie business for
a couple of years.
So I said, Andy, come on, let's do it, and call up Will, and Will said, if you clear it with Ron Bowers and those guys, I'm very cool with that. And
then 5 years later, the movie got finished.
Yeah, unfortunately, Will passed away in the midst of it. It was also a catalyst, certainly, for us to finish it, but it's kind of tough to do it on the side and try to make a living at the same time, but it's very good.
I hear you.
We had a wonderful time making the movie. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Good. All
right.
On that high note, let's get back.
Given freedom, artists are capable of all kinds of surprising things. There's a whole list of incredible cartoonists.
Very talented.
Talented to the point where you can say, well, this is art. I don't know what the definition of art is. All I know is that there's a difference between something that I can look at and say, that's pretty good, and something that I can say, well, how does he do it? It's so incredibly good. Artistic freedom seems to be bringing cartoon art out of society. The horizons are limitless. I think if the circumstances are right, if the arts are given a freedom of opportunity, kinds of remarkable things can develop.
I have no argument with that. That's one point I don't argue with. I can't totally put my arms around, if you will, the idea that the chicken is producing an egg without the egg being there first. I think the artist exists in both places. I think the marketplace has a lot to do with it. I think the audience.
Oh, that's exactly the point I was making when I said that.
What was your first convention?
In New York, in the Commodore Hotel with Phil Sewing. That was 1972 or 71, somewhere. I found the underground guys. In my office, Phil Sewing was a kind of a forceful kind of guy, nice fellow, and he said, I got a comics convention down here in the Commodore Hotel. I said, what the hell's that? He says, come on down. So I came down, and there was a true first comic convention I've ever seen. And to my astonishment, there were guys walking around carrying copies of The Spirit. But also in the corner were a bunch of guys with long hair, mustache, smoking strange kind of smelling cigarettes, glassy eyes. These were guys from the West Coast, from San Francisco, Bob Crumb, and guys like that.
A generation of cartoonists, guys like Robert Crumb, Gilbert Shelton, Jay Lynch, myself, a number of us, all kind of spontaneously started creating comic books that just defy the rules. Underground comics were a generation's reaction to comics that had really become boring and stultifying.
This guy was wandering around middle-aged in a suit and didn't seem to be part of the pimply masses that made up the bulk of the conventioneers. And when I found out it was Guide to the Spirit, my respect level rose a lot.
I remember I was sifting through some comics in some dealer's table, and Maurice Horn came up to me. He was a French comics historian who had done one of the first books on comics. And he saw my name tag and he said, "Oh, Mr. Dennis Kitchen, Will Eisner, he wants to meet you." And I said, "I don't think so. I'd like to meet him, but I'm sure he doesn't even know who I am." I was in my early 20s and he was probably in his early 50s. And we couldn't have been more different. I think I once said before, we both own pipes, but we smoke different substances.
Dennis was a tall guy with a big mustache and a lot of hair. Never did trust anybody with a lot of hair.
And I had shoulder length hair and he had almost none. But we found ourselves connecting in a place where we had a lot in common, which is freedom of creation and control over distribution, neither of which are very common in this medium or most mediums. And so we agreed that we'd explore this further, but he confessed he had never seen an underground comic. And so I said, "Well, that's easy enough. We'll go out. Phil's got about three tables full." So we went out to Phil's table, and it just so happened Art Spiegelman, a young cartoonist, was standing nearby when Will just reached down into the pile and he pulled up an S. Clay Wilson title. And he blanched. And I remember being rather embarrassed that he had to pick S. Clay Wilson. And when Will started to say something about Wilson, Spiegelman immediately got very defensive and jumped in and started defending it. And I was a little defensive about it. And basically, it didn't go very well.
Certainly, the taboo breaking that was part of the underground comics, a rather central part of underground comics, wasn't the thing that pulled Will to it primarily. You know, it wasn't like he really loved the hardcore taboo-breaking sexual content of the S. Clay Wilson, Captain Piscums and the Perfect Pirates, or Ruby the Dyke stories that he offered to Zap Comics, or Crumb's Joe Blow, or A Family That Lays Together Stays Together, spread from, I think, Snatch Comics that he did. That was probably generationally across a divide that Will couldn't cross easily.
Great.
Woo!
It's great. I love, well, nice use of Vampirella in there.
Yeah.
I just slid that in there for a little.
You know what I like there is Spiegelman saying he had to reference the comic itself that it came from, so he's a little geeky.
Yeah. A lot of geek on that screen. The 70s guys.
He's a Pulitzer Prize winning geek.
Yeah.
Yeah. You used to wear your geek on your upper lip, Kyle.
Yeah, I know. Pete still does.
That's a good point. One of the things I want to talk about with this film that I really enjoyed was the editing and the use of, like, the spirit mask and stuff.
You mean in the letters?
Yeah. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed that throughout the movie to help it move, but it was just a cool thing that I don't want to say a reminder that, you know, it's about Will Eisner and the spirit, but
you should know that if you're watching.
Yeah, but it's just like a kind of like a cool, just little.
Well,
thing.
It's so iconic, and that was that actually came from the editor and the executive producer Chris Shackman, who did an amazing job. And the thing you don't know if you haven't seen the movie is that he did the thing with the tapes.
Yeah.
Basically, those tapes are the original Shop Talk tapes that when Will. Jack Kirby's voice. And but he came to me one day. We were working on it, and we were talking about, you know, I always loved Will's signature, trying to figure out a way to use it.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, why don't we use it for these transitions?" And it really works. I mean, it's interesting because the more that I show the movie, and again, to people that don't know Will, they'll say, "Walt Disney? Isn't that Walt Disney's signature?" And you know, why did Walt Disney and Will Eisner have the same signature? And no one quite has an answer to that. Dennis Kitchen says it's because of the brush. You know.
Yeah. Who ripped off who?
Yeah, who ripped off who?
That's what we'll find out in the future. What are you guys, tease us with something you're working on next. Well, of course, you have Comic Book Artist.
Yeah.
Which we have some copies of.
See the cover of it.
Here's the Will Eisner one.
The Will Eisner issue. It's a Dave Gibbons cover. Pastiche, of course.
We've got some Chaykin over here.
That's it.
On the left side.
So I'm finally returning with the magazine. The next one will be Peter Bagg, and focus on Robert Crumb, who's contributing to the issue about retrospective on his Weirdo magazine.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to. I just wanted to make sure that we're okay here. You guys are going to go out in public with the contention that R. Crumb smoked marijuana. So, I just want to know, like, are you ready?
What,
do people know where you live? Like, are you trying to hide?
We're going down and with that. You know, you get criticized for it.
He lives in France. We got Homeland Security on our side.
Yeah, true. Alex is probably smoking with R. Crumb right now. And what's your next movie project?
Yeah, what
well, I think together we're working on just the very beginnings of talking about doing the Jack Kirby documentary.
Wow.
Which we're pretty excited about, trying to figure out a new take on. And then I'm also working on a feature about Al Capp, the
Nice.
So, but that's not going to be a documentary. That'll be something.
An erotic thriller?
I don't
Now eroticism sells. Like
yeah.
I would if
see the
if it says erotic, like, I'm halfway there.
The popularity of this show.
No. Yeah, we're sexually charged. That's what they
thanks
crowd
for each other.
Geeks who get some.
Now I couldn't imagine working on a project such as this with my brother because I hate him. It would be like it's such a long process.
Yeah.
How do you guys do? Are you all right with each other? Like, what's it like?
A lot
to
of
be
distance
a,
right here, though.
Yeah. I live in Rhode Island. He lives.
I live in New York. We don't talk very often.
You know, we come from a family of six, and we were the two youngest, and we were the two most ignored, I guess. And so,
that's wrong.
It's good. You don't believe the other four.
Comic books for John and I really, in a lot of ways, got us through our childhood. So, you know, when we got older.
Amen to that.
What's that?
Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when we, you know, when we got older and I went into film and he stayed in comic books, this for us was, at least I can say for me, was the perfect project for him and I to work together on because we loved Will's work and it was about comics, and I could do the film part. And I mean, John interviewed all the people and got all the people, and so it was perfect. It was perfect for us to do it together. I mean, yeah, we are brothers, so you know, we did have our arguments, and you know.
Well, it's kind of like Andy helps me out with my magazine. I help him out with his movie project as well, and sometimes there's a real delineation of I'm print.
Nice. Keep it simple.
He's celluloid.
So basically, I did everything he didn't do anyway.
Nice.
No, I just showed up.
We're heading towards the fight.
explain who this guy is and what he's doing here.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Okay.
He
doesn't Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not twittering right now. Matt's sitting in with us tonight. Matt, what do you do?
Life story. I'm an actor and writer and comedian in New York City. I live in Brooklyn.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo!
Bronx.
Yeah.
Rye.
Staten
Island. I do work around here, and I'm not going to plug. I don't need to plug.
Yeah, no.
I have like a following. It's going pretty well, so.
I could tell.
Yeah. Hello!
Yes. I actually Twittered my presence here. Anybody? Okay, good.
You Twittered yourself?
Yeah, I try and keep people.
Tell us about your exposure to comics.
Here's the thing. I think by the standards of this room, my exposure to comics would be like invisible to the unaided eye. But by the standards of people, see, like I have a lot of like geek problems that also need looking to, like other stuff that happens. So, but I would describe it this way. I would say, I read Watchmen recently. But before it was announced that it was going to be made into a movie.
Okay. Oh. Pretty good. Pretty good. It's like being a Giants fan before last season. Like
right.
During last season.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations.
Well, they were like winning, but hadn't.
And on that sports reference.
Patriots fan today.
I just want to touch on something. What geek problems? What?
Yeah.
What's that about? What's that?
He has a Nintendo rash.
Yeah, there's a video game problem that takes up a lot of what might be spent on comics money.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
The real problem is visiting and thinking about Walt Disney World.
Yeah. This guy, I know Matt pretty well. He's insane about Walt Disney.
Really, and like I, in a way that I can't apologize for anymore.
Your shirt says
I'd rather be at Disney World than any place else.
Oh, that's fucked up. You say that right now. Let's move on to the stack. Different beats, just a little taste. So let's talk about some comics. First comic this week, we're going to talk about Marvel 8's number one.
Oh, no.
Marvel 8's number one.
Yes.
If you...
Good reaction.
Yeah, Marvel 8, guess what this is about.
Doesn't have Arthur Adams on the cover.
Yes. Indeed.
Yes.
It's Marvel Heroes as apes. Pete, you
brilliant.
Like apes in general.
I'm a big fan of the Gorilla / Ape.
What'd you think of this?
Well, I felt like, at first I was kind of excited, but I was like, oh, that'll be fun, Marvel Apes. You know, but after the fourth page, I was kind of over the whole joke.
Well, wait a minute. What would you have seen in the first four pages where you would have been like, sold?
By the third reference to your friendly neighborhood
right.
spider monkey,
right.
I was like, all right.
Right.
Yeah, I get my monkey puns from Planet of the Apes. I don't need them here.
I don't think we should tell them about the Prime Ape comic.
Thank you very much.
Neil Adams did the cover.
Yeah. Actually, one of the first things we did together was a comic called Prime 8.
Yeah.
But they weren't, you know.
We had Neil Adams did a cover. And
that's beautiful.
Barry was a...
The Neil Adams?
The Neil Adams, that's
Neil
right.
Wow.
Wow.
Who I saw around here.
What?
Really?
Oh, wow, we've never had someone we've spoken about show up. That's fantastic.
He follows my Twitter pretty hard.
Yeah.
I think I see in the second row at aisle C.
All right, don't point him out. Yeah, you really just need to see the cover and you get what's going on here.
Yeah. Your superheroes as apes.
But here's the thing. if your expectations are that low, maybe you'll like it. Maybe if you're like, I'm not expecting some sort of revelation.
Well, wait, could we do a test? I don't know if anyone here is familiar with it, but this should be the litmus test. I'm going to say something, and if you laugh out loud, bye. Then. Doc, ook. All right, bro.
Failure. Failure.
I get a three, though, right?
Yeah, three. Take it home with you. Moving on, let's talk about Secret Six, number one. This, the much-talked-about series written by Gail Simone. What did you guys think of this?
Right now, I feel like Gail Simone can't do any wrong. I really am loving her work right now. She is doing a great job. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there, especially the deep talk two people are having during a robbery of a grocery store. That's just fun.
If you don't know the concept, it's a bunch of villains together that are, like, bad.
Yeah.
And so you're on
That's what villains
them.
Are.
Yeah,
they're bad.
They're just bad.
They're just bad. I love the cover, the Cliff Chang cover. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I wish he would do some more interior work. And I did like that scene you were talking about, though. I don't know. I didn't fall in love with this. That's it.
Oh, wow.
I liked it. I don't have a lot of background on it, so when I was reading it, I liked that, for me, it got very far away from the superhero thing. Like, as I was reading it, because, like, I kind of, even when they take superhero comics and make them, like, hard and real, there's sort of like a set of rules there that I feel like you understand and can kind of like take for granted. But I like that seemed to be in like another world. I like that it was like...
Another
although world. The dialogue thing was kind of like a little Tarantino.
It was very Tarantino. And though, and I feel
is
like...
Is there any allusions to... Did you know that there was a 1960s comic book?
Yeah, yeah.
One superhero?
I don't think there are, at least not yet.
Oh, there's nothing in the story?
No, I don't think so.
Nelson Bridwell is spinning in his grave.
I don't.
One person gets it.
Yeah.
He knows it pretty well. Come on! My God, the king of the geeks.
You don't know what you got yourself.
He's the king. I've been worshiping a different king for years. His name's Alex Stalin. Let's move on. Talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 570. This the New Ways to Die Part 3. If you haven't been following this, what's going on is there's Spider-Man. Then there's Venom, who's a lot like Spider-Man, but evil. Then there's a guy now called Anti-Venom, who's the opposite of Venom.
Ooh, it's Johnny's on.
And where does he rank? And that's what we're learning.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. First off, you know, the artwork's fantastic.
As usual.
Yeah, Romita Jr., he's just unbelievable. But the... It's kind of a fun thing to have. There's a serious back and forth of anti-Venom being on Spider-Man's side and then on Venom's side. So that's kind of a fun thing to play with. And it's a cool panel where it's both of them punching Spider-Man at the same time. That's kind of, you know, enjoyable.
You use that word like it's so foreign to you.
Thank you.
But
it does a nice job with the cliffhanger at the end where it's
You're like documentarians of the show, right?
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic.
There's a fun little cliffhanger where Anti-Venom is trying to cure Spider-Man and may or may not have taken all his powers away.
Yeah.
So, what I like about this comic is it says nothing about MJ or the fact that they ruined their freaking relationship.
You act like she broke up with you and you don't want to see her anymore.
Weird. I don't see why that's weird.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Menace subplot that's going on here a lot more than the Venom anti-Venom stuff. And while I like Eddie Brock being back, Eddie Brock's anti-Venom, I don't know, it seems like, it's like, oh, let's have an anti-Spider-Man and throw him in the mix. And then he can fight someone. And everyone's all...
Well, that wouldn't make any sense.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense. It's morally kind of confused because we're talking about dialogue while other stuff is happening. In this, there's a big fight between the three of them. And Spider-Man's constantly checking in with Eddie Brock and be like, okay, I'm good. I just saved a guy who was involved. You could do that, or you could not do that. And it's sort of like, well, that's more punching, more dual punching. You know?
A lot of team punching.
Yeah.
It's more intense. How would their fists hit at the same time? Someone pointed out that it's weird, Anti-Venom can make a big fist with his powers, and Venom can't. Too much. Let's move on to Buffy number 18. Ooh. This, with the slightly controversial nude horse centaur girl cover, which everyone was like, wow, they are certainly fetishizing in this comic. And also in this, Willow kind of... What's that?
Fetishizing.
Certainly is. Right now.
As of now.
In this, Willow is trying to save the day by having sex with her girlfriend. Which, I don't know if that works a lot, but I like to think that it does.
Maybe, yeah, that could be a cool thing to
spread the word.
Yeah.
No, we have to have sex, otherwise the villains will win.
I use that line a lot. The girls are always like, what villains? What are we talking about? And I'm like, just watch out.
Coming to this fresh, I hadn't really picked up on the controversy of the cover. This is not a controversial cover to me.
Well, you're into Central Girls, so that's...
And topless animals, topless people, animal hybrids,
yeah.
Nude of any kind. But then it turned into a controversy here on page this. Where the centaur is wearing a tank top all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And you're like, well...
that's
bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, come
that's
on.
That's
where you had
me a
promise.
I don't know.
You got my money. I mean, later girls do have sex, but, I mean, come on. Like, where's the tank top here? Nowhere. It's like, there's... It's implied.
Oh, so it's a continuity error.
Yeah, exactly. How are they going to retcon that?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Wow. Some sort of no prize award for this gentleman. This Buffy series has been very good.
Yes.
I like it a lot, and in this it's a crossover with Frey, another Joss Whedon kind of concept. And it's good. It takes different turns. It's surprising, and it's very fun. Though I will say he invented a future language in this, and it's just annoying. Like, how many times has this been done where it's like, oh yeah, that's a word we say now, but kind of shortened. Is that how we're going to talk in a few years? I think that's annoying. Your idea.
Totes.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on. X-Men Manifest Destiny number 1. This is a collection of short stories with the X-Men kind of fighting their ground in San Francisco. Pete.
All right. So we got Iceman and old what's-her-name, Mystique. who this is a fun kind of plot, but I'm sick and tired of the fact that, like, how come dudes keep sleeping with Mystique and then later find out she's evil and they're upset about it? Like, how does that keep happening? Like, it's gotta be old at this point. Like, well, Mystique, I know you're hot. You can transform into anything.
Bingo.
But I shouldn't sleep with you because eventually you're gonna screw me over.
Yeah, would anybody ever say that? It's like, all right, set, done, condom, done. One question. Like, morally, on the future of the world and stuff, like, should people, am I my brother's keeper? Like, questions like that. And then you wouldn't have sex problems.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good to know, right?
It just blew my mind. Yeah. I don't know where to go from there.
Pete's engaged, so he gets into deeply moral questions every time he has sex.
Yeah.
Can't wait to attend your
thanks for sharing that.
Your wedding. No problem. I love the short story thing they're doing with it. This and Divided We Stand had a couple, they had two short story books come out. It's really nice to see the focus on different X-Men. Including Boom Boom in the second one. Remember Boom Boom? Has anyone been missing? Yeah. Boomer? Boom Boom?
Yeah.
Really?
One? Really? One person? Yeah, what's nice about
Will Eisner dreamt Boom Boom. He didn't bury it. I don't know if he didn't get to that.
We didn't, yeah. It's later in the documentary.
Later in the documentary, oh, cool. Yeah. That's what Shaquille O'Neal talks about.
Yeah.
The only thing that is nice about the short story stuff is when the other stories blow, you can be happy with at least one of them.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just like anything. Like,
no,
you
I'm
get
just
a,
saying, if
you
this,
get a dozen
if,
eggs.
If it was a whole comic on just Boom Boom, I wouldn't be as happy. Sorry. Sorry.
Emotional roller coaster. Music.
Yeah, but there's some for everybody in this comic, is what my point is.
Or huh? Three. Nice. Wow, humans are different. That's our thing. Moving on to the Authority number two. This part of the World's End where the... done with that. The Wildstorm universe has been destroyed. And now we're following the different teams as they make their way in the world.
I'm sorry, I gotta ask. What's with the throwing of the bag in the board?
You really need it.
Right? That's the way people...
What? You don't feel that, you know, because Robert someone Bell? Put their, you know, art and work into something that it should be preserved?
Yeah.
Come on, John, tell him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it should be read.
Because it could read it.
Oh, man.
It's all about reading. Kind of.
It's about reading.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's,
well, here's
that's,
the thing.
That's the way we talk as kids. That's what, how we collect it.
Yeah.
You know, art. We,
and I buy reading condition.
Yeah.
Honestly, the old stuff, I buy reading condition.
Yeah, mine are all in
the
pile.
The slab of comic is just... beyond my comprehension.
It's like,
wow.
I guess
it's like
maybe
burying,
because
it's like
I have such a love for it that I
want
to, like, keep it.
Well,
and,
you
know,
love
it,
no, it's it. You know, it's like why I don't call my magazine comic book artifact. I call it about the artist. It's not the artifact, it's the artist. That's what's important.
I have a pile of Picasso's under my bed as well.
No.
You don't need that.
Don't need that. Just, it's there to see.
That's it.
Look, I was on your side for a second.
Last week when I was on Disney World Club,
I
told them I was going to be here, and they're like, they're going to fight about the bag thing.
Words out.
I was dissed in the bag, wasn't I? I was by doing that, I was dissed in the bag.
Wow, that's some future talk. Good. Yeah.
Future talk.
Anyway, this is very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really, I like that they're taking some risks with these characters that have been kind of ignored for years.
Yes.
Definitely worth picking up. I hadn't been reading it, and now I'm picking it up.
Yeah, what's nice about Wildstorm is they're doing a big event here with the World's End, and it's nice when they do a big event because it gets more people on board and hopefully more people into that world, because it's awesome. I really enjoy it. So,
you know, actually, Christos Gage is a friend of mine. How is he?
Nice guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's good, and he's writing like every. He has his hands all over this whole thing. He's like the guy at Wildstorm.
Really? Oh, is he? That's great. Great for him. Because he did Skywalt. He did a retrospective of Skywalt with me.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He worked very hard.
Yeah, yeah. A good friend. Success. Yeah, he was in television, too.
We interviewed him at New York Comic Con. We interviewed him like 9 times.
Did you?
At different events. We had him on our show. We interviewed him like 3 times.
I never met him face to face, just through the internet.
Oh, horribly ugly. Disgusting. Don't ever meet him face to face. Hideous. Caveman.
If I ever happen, you guys really know what he looks like?
You're lucky. You're lucky. We're going to turn it over to Pete's anger corner. For Pete had a problem this week. He thought this was not a reprint. He thought it was a new comic coming out this week.
Okay, all right.
It looks like a new comic.
Is that Gary Frank?
It is. Yeah. And this is actually this is a great issue to be read in any printing.
But Pete
has the original and bought the second printing because he runs to the comic store with his arm out and slides them on.
You paint this horrible picture of me and then sort of explain yourself.
I'm building up
your anger.
And then you're going to let you. It's like revving a car.
Is that why he's wearing green today?
Damn, you're like brothers. Okay, go ahead. You're revved up enough.
Now it's all gone.
So Bottle of beer.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically, when I go to the comic book store, I'm just kind of, you know, grabbing all the
making stuff. So this
is different than this.
My point is that if you're gonna fucking have a reprint, put it in a different section than the new releases. Alright, if you're gonna have a new release, just have a reprint fucking section because I'm sick and tired of accidentally buying those goddamn
comics. Well, I don't remember the numbers.
Keep in mind. Yeah. You have to look at them. He's got them in the bags. It's hard to open them up and look at the covers.
It's a completely different
color. Color, not cover!
Is it the same date on it? Even though
if you're buying 50 fucking comics, if you're buying 50 goddamn comics at a time, I can't remember every day.
I'm with you, Pete.
Go Pete.
Yes. Anger corner.
I mean, even a Power Records version has always took off. Power Records, anybody?
Keep in mind that Pete bought 2 other reprints in addition to this, which only fed his rage.
Yeah. They do it on purpose.
It's very deceptive. It's messed up.
Yeah,
we don't turn
I feel like they purposely do that. They try to sucker me, and I keep falling for it.
No, I was at a meeting. There was a big DC Marvel meeting where they were like, "Let's fuck," and I was like, "What do you mean by that?" And they were like, "With the covers." I was like, "Oh, cool."
That's right. Levinson Poussin.
It was a great meeting. Very exciting. And that's it for the stack. And we're back. Let's move on to the section that we all like the most. That's audience questions. For that, we're going to turn over to Kevin, our replacement booth man.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah. No, but you're the best so far.
Oh. That's
what are you doing with them?
Huh? Keep them in there. He's got. You think regular booth man has a big cod piece?
So I've got these slips of paper, and you want me to read them?
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel about the bags? What do you think about the little bags?
I was particularly offended about tossing the bags.
Yeah! I'm going to destroy comic books.
I was hoping you'd say something, Pete, but it's not my show, so I was going to get on the mic, but I'm actually, I really don't have much feeling about bags.
Wow. Rug taken out from under you.
Yeah. Well, I just want to move on here. So we got...
Law and order.
Your stock is rising again.
Give me a mic. So this is pencil on paper, and I think it says... It's not really the form of the question, except there's a question mark at the end here. It says, favorite Eisner comic? Maybe there's an S?
Favorite Eisner comics.
Ooh, does that have to be a comic?
Well, the question would dictate. No,
I'd say Contract with God.
Yeah.
Which story would answer that?
Ooh.
There's like 4 years.
Probably the first story.
What about best spirit story?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
About 10 minutes.
Huh? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I like the last trolley.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
The art in that one is so beautiful.
I feel like you have no fucking idea. You just
no.
Like,
you. How do you? What's your favorite
your
10 minutes.
No, I really was gonna say that. Don't
what about Gerhard Schnabel? Huh?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Anybody? Who's got a favorite? Come on, throw out. Show you know something.
Joe Dope. Anybody?
Joe Dope.
Joe
the best spirit.
Some of the World War II work.
Nice. Wow.
Look at this guy.
You just got fucking Trump by him. What do you guys think of the Spirit movie?
Yeah, how do you feel about
the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, we certainly hope for the best of the success of Frank Miller because his success is our success.
Little sting on that. I like it. let's move on to the next question.
I'm not sure if that's a segue because I'm not sure who wrote Watchmen. Who wrote Watchmen?
Alan
Moore.
So this next question is, should I demand my money back for Watchmen now, or should I wait until after I see it?
Cool. How much money have you spent already, if I may?
Anonymous burn on no money spent in the form of a question. Yeah.
If you have a bunch of tickets already, you may have been scalped.
For a March release.
It's a refund now.
We're buying tickets for a March release.
So, the Watchmen movie, yes.
That's in the business section now, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all it is.
If you guys haven't heard, there's a big controversy over who owns the rights to Watchmen, and fortunately the filming's all done. Otherwise, it would be all fucked up. But hopefully they're going to settle it, and the movie can come out kind of on
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, I hope.
No matter who has
no,
up
no,
the rights,
never
they want all that money. Like, the money's got to come in, so you got to release it.
Wait, you
know,
say you
hope
it not.
I cannot think of a comic book that is so not a movie as Watchmen. Because, I mean, it's all built on the conventions and the conventions of a comic book.
It's like it's comedy, not comic.
It's the repetitiveness from the pin to everything that he did. It's insane, I thought. And I was looking through these the posters that Zach did that were exactly of the comedian doing the exactly as a Dave Gibbons posters, and I could see that. Look, I like Zach like anybody else, but it's just like he was so proud of himself. And I'm wondering, why are you doing it? Who are you trying? You ain't going to make Alan happy.
True.
Well, I think...
Sorry, I'm serious. It's just like, why do it? It's
I agree with you.
It has cachet, you know? Like,
and
but
I think
even amongst squares, like...
300 was exactly the book, and that did really well, so... You know, there is...
Well, they're definitely using that same model, but I don't think it works.
No, but, I mean, the whole premise of it is about the EC comics, the pirate comics, you know what I mean? It gets into the history of comic books. It delves very deeply into a mythical history of comic books, but nonetheless. And it really is Charlton comic book heroes through a prism that Alan did. And, you know, whatever.
I went to
Northampton, England, and spent a good bit of time with him, and his ranting on Hollywood is interesting and persuasive.
Wow.
Could I play devil's advocate, though, just a little bit?
At your own risk.
I say this may not fly in this room, but
as
an emissary from, like, non-comic society,
yep.
I think we will end up with, like, way better than average superhero movie. Like maybe it'll do a disservice to the book, but it is an awesome story, like, and the visuals, I think, I'm psyched about.
And that's what the trailer makes it seem like. It's going to be like, oh, this is a superhero movie that might be good or might be bad.
Right.
And I think you're right that it's going to miss out on all of the richness. And there's going to be no history to it because there's no history in the movie.
I was hoping that maybe they could do some way where, like, the beginning of the movie was, like, the first Batman movie. And then it went through all
Don't
the subsequent
even say
Batman movies.
Careful.
No, not because I'm into those movies, but in
hey,
order
emissary,
to replicate...
Hey, you may not make it back.
Don't shoot the messenger. But no, like, in a corny way, to replicate the way that it honors the history of comic books to, like, well, it's a movie now. How could you transpose that value onto the history of action movies or comic book movies?
Well, exactly, in a lot of ways, with the curses. I mean, every non-comic book person that I know who knows me and knows what I do, they all think I do a comic. But I do a magazine about comic books. But nonetheless, they always come up to me and have to get my opinion on the latest superhero movie. So part of it is I loathe superhero movies because they're not comic books, and that everyone makes that connection. There's such a relationship between the two, but it's a medium. It's a way of reading. I'm being serious.
Well, actually, let's move on to the...
Wait. What do you think about the idea of maybe... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. But what do you think about the idea of maybe someone seeing a movie and being like, hey, I should really start reading comic books. And it turns them on to comics.
Who cares?
Wow. Go to a freaking library. I mean, go to the bookstore. Go to the bookstore.
Well, yes, obviously. Obviously.
That's right. You know, I mean, you know, what if somebody goes to a, you know, a porn movie and then starts reading pornography, prose pornography?
Exactly.
What about it? Do you have any questions about that?
I guess I can answer any questions about that situation.
But,
I mean, I'm sorry.
No one's reading erotic fiction. That's the issue here. This is so
I should
wear
green.
That's it for audience questions, I think. the audience is screaming now? What's happening? Let's move on to the Week in Geek. We're going to talk about some movies real quick as well.
We did, didn't we?
Indeed. A lot of rumors going around this week about casting in the upcoming superhero movies. This may enrage you even further.
Why are you going to do this? This is just going to upset.
I know. There was talk of Will Smith being cast in Captain America.
No!
Right? Oh. Can you bring the lights down a little bit?
Sure, really.
Well, this is really unnecessary. We all know who Will Smith is, and we know Captain America. but just in case it helps you a little bit.
No.
Pretty weird, right? That's... And this one's, I think, is going to end up being just a rumor, and not because Hancock.
Was that a hit? Was Hancock a hit?
It was.
Did better than.
It, was?
It did better than.
Well, because they changed the poses, right?
If I'm going to play devil's advocate here,
here we go.
I'm not that stupid to play devil's advocate about that. That's what you.
Let's move on to the next one. Johnny Depp as the Riddler. As the Riddler. This one, Michael Caine went on, did an interview for MTV Splash Page, and he leaked this thing where he said that he was in a meeting with some Warner Brothers executives, and they said, he was like, how are you going to beat Heath Ledger as the villain? They were like, follow me on this. Johnny Depp is the Riddler, and Philip Seymour Hoffman as the Penguin. And as you can see, he's already showing up with some superheroes in this picture. On a trick-or-treating run, perhaps.
Yeah. Nice pick.
Thank you. I put the collage together for that.
Yeah, very nice.
Celebrity baby.
Blah. Yeah. I'm a frequent visitor.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Especially superhero.
And this all came out of, as I said, Michael Caine's mouth. There he is. You can't quite see it, but he looks stoned in that picture. And that's, that's the one they had on the MTV Splash Page blog. Ridiculous. I don't think any of these are going to come true. I think they're all kind of bullshit at this point. But what's exciting is everyone's so whipped up in all this comic book casting frenzy.
Sharon's Capital.
Well, now they're threatening to not do the movie at all now, too, aren't they? They talked to Christopher Nolan, and he was like, and I kind of agree with him. Like, he kind of doesn't see the percentage in it. Like, how could he make a movie more critically acclaimed? Like Philip Seymour Hoffman knows he's not going to dress up kind of like a penguin and beat Heath Ledger at Heath Ledger's game.
He's going to get paid a shitload more money.
Yeah.
They're going to come to the bank.
That's right.
Yeah.
Funny thing.
Well, that's like saying, like, well, they made Dark Knight. Let's stop making movies in general. Let's read some erotic fiction and...
Watch PBS?
That's for you right there. Moving on to the next slide, there was some other rumors about Spider-Man 4 and 5. It seems like this is more true than the last one.
Two at the same time again.
Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire are making a deal right now, apparently. Kirsten Dunst is not on board yet.
Do you really need two more?
That's what I think is weird. Is anyone would be excited for Spider-Man 4 and 5?
Just suck twice as hard.
Really? You think it's a descending slope here?
Yes,
yeah.
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 Well, I don't know if I read
that
down for Sam Raimi.
Superman,
the Diminishing Returns.
Yeah, he did. Well, one and two were done together, right? Or was that one?
No.
Who cares?
Brothers, catching up over here.
Yeah. Three Musketeers, four Musketeers.
And they're talking about having the Lizard. They've been having Kirk Connors come up in every movie, and they're saying that maybe this time it'll find.
Yeah, but it'll be a different actor. I thought, screw him.
Oh, that would be so great.
Two movies!
That would be think the sole redeeming part of if they did that was that, what's his name? I'm blanking on that.
You know, a guy like that.
He's awesome. Yeah. To see a movie where he was the best.
He's awesome, though. Hard
but you know that they're going to bag him out. They're going to put in a much more high
Will Smith. Yeah. Will Smith.
Yeah. He'll get that part. Well, just think about what a great role Thomas Hayden Church had in Sandman. That really made history. Anyway,
remember Billy Dee Williams in the first he's Harvey Dent. You go, oh, cool. We're getting ready.
No, killing him.
Well, the best part of that was they didn't tell him. Like the fact that it was news to him, where he was like, "No, I'm going to be in like at least two more of these things. I got a great thing going."
And,
when he was like, he had like what, like four or five lines.
Billy Dee Williams.
And he was just, like, "How dare you? Like I own that. I set it all up. Remember that press conference on the stairs? I totally did a bunch of Harvey Dent shit.
Yeah,
I pay off.
Yeah, it was a long play. For,
I set it up.
Moving on, skip that one, and let's go to Pete. Pete wanted to talk a little bit. He learned today that
the guy from
the actor
Uncle Phil
Smith
Shredder. I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Will Smith's uncle.
That was Will Smith's uncle from
right.
Fresh Prince.
His name's James Avery. He wasn't his real uncle. Sorry to ruin that for you a little bit.
What?
But he voiced Shredder.
That's fucking awesome.
Isn't it?
I didn't know that.
Fucking awesome.
Now
he gets serious. Fucking that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Does that constitute news?
No.
I just found out today.
News to Pete, and he made me put it in.
Oh, well,
That's it for Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And now we're going to move on to Pete's section, which is called Trivia.
All right.
Trivia.
This is the section where we give back to you, the lovely audience. By the way, thank you very much for coming. This is the opportunity for you to win a gift card for $25 to Midtown Comics. The card is actually in there. So who would like $25 free simply raise your hand. All right, you sir, come on down. All right, what's your name?
I'm Jimmy.
Jimmy,
good morning.
Audience Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy. So today's trivia is going to be on Will Eisner.
Oh.
Yeah, for no particular reason. So how it's going to work is I'm going to read you the question. You listen to all three answers.
Okay.
Then pick the correct one. If you get all three right, gift card is yours. All
right.
And if you were paying attention at all during the first half an hour of the show, you should be all set. Here we go. Will Eisner is considered one of the most important contributors to the development of comics. He's also known for making one of the first American, is it A, graphic novels, B, thought balloons, or C, karate masters?
I'm going to go with A, graphic novels.
Yay! Wow. Nice work on that one. One for one.
Good start.
A little bit. We don't get nothing but water.
Yeah.
I'll split it with you. I'll split it with you.
Ignore the man behind you.
We'll go half.
Habsies are
you guys have water?
Damn it!
You be quiet! You be quiet!
He just redeemed himself!
Oh, Burton is gone!
Yeah.
Bootman! Earth 2 Bootman!
When Superman became all the rage, Eisner was pressured into making what character? Was it A, Supreme Being, B, Wonder Man, or C, Tights and a Nice Butt, Two Bits?
I think it's B.
B Wonder Man, correct. Yay! Very controversial moment. To pay tribute to Will Eisner, they made an award for recognizing achievement in comics, and it is called A, the Wills, B, the Eisners, or C, an award for achievement in comics.
I'm going to go with B on that one.
Oh my God! The man is unbelievable! Wow.
Pete, Pete's writing for Jeopardy next. They're gonna lose a lot of money.
It's all off the top of my head.
Did you guys learn anything from the trivia that you may need to re-edit the documentary?
The Wills.
Two bits.
Tights and a nice butt. Two bits. Really, darling. Great. Well, before we move on, you should have looked at this already. Tomorrow.
It's your contract for a period. Yeah, that's why you haven't got sign it. That and trivia.
Right. Now we have to give you money.
Yeah, yeah.
Your water costs $1.40.
Thanks. We'll handle the money wrangling. Tomorrow night, tomorrow day, as you know, is New Comic Day.
You're doing a hell of a job.
It extends until tomorrow night.
Shut up.
What are we all looking forward to?
Well, Secret Invasion is spoiled because Alex read it.
You can still read it.
Good point. They came out with another Wolverine one-shot. I have to get it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. God, stop it. We get enough of Wolverine.
No, we can't.
Yeah,
we
thank
can.
You.
Yeah. We're really deep.
The super erotic anthology.
See, I knew you would gravitate.
Number 88.
He took your answer, I think.
Yeah, he definitely did. Tomorrow, I'll probably pick up a book called Anathem, which is not illustrated, so maybe stocked down in this room, but is the new novel by Neal Stephenson.
It appeals to many geeks.
It's about math monks in a future world who speak another language.
No pitches?
No pitches?
They were like, no bitches.
Get the fuck
No
bitches. Get the fuck out.
What the fuck is this, comics?
Come on, no bitches!
Hey! Why no bitches? You already had that voice.
Wow.
You know, sometimes they don't have voice. You know. Yeah. They're pretty good.
Come back every week, would you?
Yeah.
You bring a swearing
I'll
life.
I'll Twitter you about it.
Twitter me. I'm looking forward to the Gotham Central the first hardcover, first 10 issues. Fantastic. If you haven't read the series, it was one of the best series out when it was coming out. Yeah, that's it. What are you guys looking for? Deadpool number 1 is supposed to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I usually go in the back issue bin, so get my rating copies.
What's some of your favorite things that you look for when you go for the back issue?
Favorite things? Really?
Really?
Oh, shit. I really go for things like Little Archie. Mm-hmm. I go for weird old kind of. I like Jack Kirby romance comics, I like a lot.
Oh, God.
It's just so weird because I haven't seen them. Hey, it's good shit.
What?
He invented the. Him and Joe Simon invented the romance. Yeah. They got a story called Different that's what it's like. They never mention it, but what it's like to be Jewish. And it's from 1950. And it was about romance between a Gentile and a Jew in a small town in America that was just like, wow. Yeah. So it's good.
Tell us some stuff to look forward to.
Replug.
Tell us what to get. You have a new issue of comic book artist coming out in early 2009.
Yeah, doing all the weirdo. Boy, that stuff's good. I mean, weirdo comics, that's all still in print. I think you can get. And it's R. Crumb edited it, so did Peter Bagg and Aileen Kaminsky Crumb. Boy, I mean, it's just great stuff. I think the best comics are autobiographical comics or historical comics. It's just great stuff. It's real storytelling. You know, I mean, you do a lot of superhero stuff, but that's great. there's a lot.
You got my eye. Don't go
back.
Twitter something else. The Jack Kirby. That'll be like what? 3, 4 years? 10 years?
Well, you know, 5. I don't know. I like to average about 5 years a movie.
Cool.
We're just getting started on that, and I'm sort of in the middle of.
We're getting very conceptual about that.
We're like, what?
It's going to be very conceptual.
Where is the
different approach?
It'll be a lot faster, right?
Where is the documentary on Will Eisner available for everybody?
It should be out on Christmas. So.
Okay, great.
So
cool.
Right around the time this
Perfect time.
Thanks, guys. It's been a great deal of fun.
Thanks for coming.
I hope I wasn't too angry.
No, and more anger. Anger now. Matt, something you'd like to plug.
Oh, man.
Are you in any sort of sketch group?
I'm in a sketch group called Sidecar. I'm sort of the
anchor. Oh, that's how he got on the show. He's in your freaking sketch group.
You're a tool.
Wait,
fair enough. So I'm in a sketch group called Sidecar. If you're going to be in the Seattle area in 2 weekends hence, Sidecar's going to be in the Seattle sketch fest.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of other stuff going on sort of around town. Check out my Tumblr for more details.
All right. No one knows what that is. All right, a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank John and Andy for coming down and seeing
us.
Each and every week.
Thank
come back. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/comicbookclub and send us emails. Good night.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Pleasure meeting you.
All right.
Hey, Pete.
Can I take a picture of you
guys?
You
really got a bone on.
You're not a man. You're not a man.
We have another show coming in. Once again, thank you for coming out. Please, we have another show coming in. You're more than welcome.